Gary, you're on. Oh, he's the editor of the Braille Monitor. So go for it.
Well, I appreciate that warm applause. I'm glad to be with you today. And I would like it, if you would, for you all to give a warm round of applause for the good soul that you find in Bonnie and for the good souls that you find sitting to your right and your left, because all of us are here by choice, and that's a wonderful thing. Okay, so I have no idea whether that drew applause or not, because Zoom has a way of muting that sort of thing. So let me start off by telling you that if you believe that the Braille Monitor is not for you because you don't read Braille, think again. We have the Braille Monitor in all kinds of formats, and I'll talk with you about it in a minute. Patty helped me out a great deal this morning when she talked about the Braille Monitor as the flagship publication of the NFB, flagship meaning the chief one of a related group. In other words, we're supposed to be the top dog of publications within the National Federation of the Blind, and I work hard to make us that. And whether we end up being that depends more on what you contribute in the way of thoughts, ideas, articles, and being informed readers than it does on what I contribute. The Braille Monitor has 11 issues per year in every conceivable format. Right now, of course, it is available in Braille. It's available in large print. It's available on our audio flash drive. It's on the web just like any HTML document that you would navigate. It's on the web as a downloadable audio file, as a downloadable Word file. It's available as a podcast. It's available on NFB Newsline. If there's another way to make it available, you let me know and we'll figure out how to get it there. Because we have it in every conceivable format we could think that blind people would like to read. So what is in the Braille Monitor? Well, we have issues where we talk about the history of the Federation. Why did we come into being? What were the things that were our first issues that we took to Washington? Why did we decide that there was a need for a national organization? We talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about what's going on in the present, because as interesting as history is, you got to deal with the here and now. So if you look in the Braille Monitor in the last year or so, you'll see articles about our issues with rideshare. That not only involves the use of guide dogs, but it involves making sure that we get in with the right people, the issue of safety, and even the issue of whether the app remains accessible, because for a time we had difficulty with the fact that they'd make the app accessible, we'd brag about it, and then they'd go off and change it. We're very interested in autonomous vehicles and where they are right now. What are the issues technologically that stand between us and a car that can drive itself? What are the legal issues that we have to surmount? What are the public relations issues we have to surmount? How easy is it for us to use kiosks? You know, we've got to make sure in all of our moving forward that we don't actually fall behind. And one of the things we noticed was that it was more difficult for us to function independently at a McDonald's than it was 5 years ago because of their kiosks. And we've now pushed on them to get their kiosks to talk. It's not going to be an overnight process, but it is moving. We have job application sites that are not accessible. Now, how does that make a person looking for a job feel about the kind of accessibility they're likely to find? We have educational institutions that are not offering accessible software. So what gets measured sometimes is not a letter grade that represents what you know, but a letter grade that represents what you were able to extract from feeble technology. Then there is the issue of testing sites. when we want to go for high stakes testing so we can go to law school and medical school and be a clinical psychologist and other such things, we have to pass standardized tests. Well, in order to be standardized, we've got to have an equal whack at them. So they measure what we know in our brain, not what somebody thought to incorporate into accessibility. So then you look at other things, like the Braille monitor covers some weird stuff once in a while. Like there was one called "When I Was Almost the Victim of My Own Implicit Bias." Does anybody in the audience know who might have written that article? No? I know one person in the audience who knows who wrote that article. Patty Chang wrote that article. It was in the July 2021 issue. And she almost cost herself a husband. Francisco, I'm glad that she realized her mistake before it was too late, because I think you're an A number one fellow. And if Patty Chang ought to be accompanied by anyone except me, it ought to be an A number one fellow like you. So what would you see if you looked at the latest issue of the Braille Monitor, the November one? You would see that we had an offering from an anonymous author, and it has to do with fertility and the doctor-patient relationship if you are blind. This is a very moving article that talks about how nurses and doctors suggested that this person might not want to have children unless she first engaged in genetic editing to make sure that her disability was not perpetuated. And then there was the question of, do you want to have children at all? And then there was the question of, can you really take care of them? And then there was the person who wanted to help her take off and put on her underwear. And, you know, you go through that and you think, how can these people begin to think of me as competent? And will I really get a fair shake? And as much as I want a child, how much of this abuse can I take? We had a tribute to Alan Harris, one of our most active members over the last 50 years, who recently died. We talked in the monitor about the way we support Bookshare. Many of you know about Bookshare, and it just got a nice grant from the Department of Education, due in large part to what we wrote about the function of Bookshare in our lives and in our education and in our professionally being able to maintain what we need in order to stay licensed. We talk about the upcoming Washington seminar. We talk about Drupal, which is a platform that people use to develop web pages and what are called content management systems. And Rachel Olivero, who was instrumental in helping develop a Drupal theme or a Drupal template that produces accessible code. We talk about whether it's respectable to be deafblind. I think that's a really important issue, because the person who writes this article says, you know, we're pretty good at talking about blindness, but our ears mean so much to us that we kind of shy away from deaf blindness. We need to do more about that. And we conclude with an article about a guy who is head over heels about the fact that he has a seeing eye dog. Now, as the editor, I often make corrections to what people write, but this guy insisted on writing about his dog as his lifelong partner. And I don't know whether that means the dog is going to live a long time or whether he knows something we don't know about his own life expectancy. But sometimes you let things go because you want them to appear in the voice of the person who wrote them. And this person is a really good human being. You know, when I came to the Federation, the Monitor, it was the end-all, be-all of publications. It has competition now, and I don't want to diminish that at all. We have innovating our future, which Patty talked about. We are present on social media. We have a blog. We have a podcast. All of these things are wonderful, but I suggest that none of them give you the kind of depth that you're going to find in the Braille Monitor. All of us want to be generalists at some level. We want to know a little bit about a lot of things, but there are times when we need to know a lot about a few things. And I suggest that the civil rights movement of the blind, the people's movement of the blind, is one of those things that we ought to know a lot about, and we ought to have the in-depth coverage that we give in the monitor. So I'm going to suggest to you that the monitor is the thing that can give you a view not only of what is going on in your chapter, not only what is going on in your state, but also what is going on around the nation. It can help you get to know people that will serve you well to get to know. And you will serve them well by letting them get to know you, because the more people in leadership know you, the greater number of resources they have. And the fact of the matter is that you count. You count a great deal. You set the direction of our organization. You set the direction of our magazine. You are the folks who are showing that blind people can be the drivers in our own lives rather than being the simple recipients of the good intentions of others. The idea that I could be the driver in my own life was radical, and we talked about that a little bit. And the idea that we could be politically active wasn't just interesting because I was a blind person. It was because I came from folks who believed that we were the little guy when it came to politics, that what we did and said really didn't matter. But the fact that we have white cane laws, the fact that we have to be sold life insurance on the same basis as others, the fact that we have a vending program the fact that we have Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, that we are able to vote privately and independently in many cases far beyond what we could, all of that speaks to political power that Gary Wunder, coming out of Cleveland, Missouri, would never have believed possible. So I'm going to encourage you, please, to sign up to get the Braille Monitor. You can do that with an email by writing to publications@nfb.org, publications@nfb.org, or you can write to me, G Wunder, G-W-U-N-D-E-R, at nfb.org, and I'll make sure and get you on the list. And if you have article ideas, I want you to know that I'm perfectly willing to help you with those, and I am willing to be anonymous in the process. So if you have a story idea, but you're afraid that you lack the pizzazz with the comma, or the exclamation mark, you're not quite sure that your grammar is up to it, but you believe that you have a story, I'd like you to work with me, and together we'll figure out how to make that story shine. And I know that when I was a youngster, I used to consider writing such a cumbersome process. It would take me 2 hours to write a letter to the American Foundation for the Blind to order a clock or a cane. This was before the days of the independence market, before the days of call them up and give them a charge card. This is send them a check, wait for them to acknowledge your order, and then wait for it to be sent back. So you better not need the cane in the next week. I was really moved by the fact that in the Braille Monitor, Dr. Tenbrook held down a full-time job, raised a family, and still managed to write all that he did and do all the organizing that he did. I thought it was phenomenal that Kenneth Jernigan could write 100 letters a week and still be the director of an agency for the blind in this country. And I thought, you know, I don't know if I can achieve that or not, but if they can do it, I can at least try to do it. And so I try to make writing second nature to me. And if I make it second nature to me, maybe I can help it be easier for you. So please think about the Braille monitor. Think about your own stories. Think about the special things that you may bring to people who want to know more about blindness, to people who want to know more about the difficulties you've faced and the way that you've addressed them, and know that you have a friend in the Braille monitor, and we would love to see you get nationwide recognition for that. Again, all of those different formats, publications at nfb.org, gwonder at nfb.org.